starting a new house church coming up in on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. What's a house church all about? Well, that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. It's what a house church is about. This is a good church right here. This is a good one. It's kind of big for a house church, though, you know, because y'all are all looking at me, you know, from that vantage point, you know. And a house church is where the believers gathered in the New Testament. They began meeting in houses. People changed that a lot. You know, we started building big buildings and, you know, so much of the church then became a spectator sport over the years. You know, especially once you hit about the year 300, church began to be legitimized by the, rather than persecuted, the church became led by the leaders, and the leaders and the people were separated and segregated, and the leaders kind of stood up and did the little act like kind of I'm doing this morning, kind of, you know, and the people clap at the end and go home, because the church was about the leaders and the church was about God, and God was too far away for the people. Okay? But the fact is the reason that God did what He did and He took Jesus up into heaven to sit at His right hand, and He said He was going to send another comforter. He was going to send the comforter. He was going to send someone else to be with you and to be in you. And so when the church began to transform itself into, again, a spectator sport or a spectator type of situation where people would begin to just sit in the crowd or sit in the pew and let the leaders do the ritual, that wasn't God's idea. Amen? Because it wasn't about fulfilling certain rituals to get God to like you and to be happy with you. The church had always been a relationship with the Lord. If you read the book of Acts, read through the book of Acts. It says the Acts of the Apostles. It's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? The Acts of the Holy Spirit, the works of the Holy Spirit through His people, right? And that's who you are. You are the people of God. You're called by His name. You're born again. You're born from above, all right? So Acts chapter 2, let's take a look at it in verse 36. Let's start with that. This is the end of the script. This is the end of the sermon that Peter first preached after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came into the upper room and baptized all of them, sat on them with cloven tongues as a fire, and all of them began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave the utterance. And this is on the day of Pentecost. This is 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus and 10 days after Jesus ascended. He spent 40 days with His disciples on the earth teaching them and instructing them in the kingdom of heaven. And then after 40 days, Jesus was ascended into heaven. He said, but don't go anywhere until you be endued with power from on high. So He said, don't go anywhere. So that'd be good advice for you. Don't go anywhere, Wyatt, until you get endued with power from on high. Amen. Crockett, amen. Now you can go, see, because you've been power from on high come upon you, because the Holy Spirit has now come upon you. He said, how much more, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, Jesus said, how much more would the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? I mean, you know how to give good gifts to your children, right? You're not going to give them a rock, you know, if they ask for bread. You're not going to give them a scorpion if they ask for an egg. And you're not going to give them, you know, something else if you ask, you know, something bad if they ask for something good. So you know how to give good. How much more is the Father going to love you? The Father in heaven, Jesus said, the Father Himself loveth you. See, Jesus is trying to get across to you the fact, and He did this during the discourse in John, in the book of John, which I'll talk about in a little bit, is that during that whole period of time, those five chapters in John, when they're having the meal, having the Passover meal, is that period of time Jesus is using to transform them or to migrate them from Jesus personally, humanly being with them to a day soon coming, like that next morning, where Jesus would not be available. Remember that night he was taken away, wasn't he? That night he was taken away. He said, I will not talk much more with you. It's because he got taken away. And he was killed. And he was dead for 3 days. And then he rose again. They spent some more time with him, 40 days. But that time, they were still wondering, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? And Jesus wasn't about restoring the kingdom to Israel. He was about restoring his kingdom on the earth. And you know how he did that? He put his Holy Spirit on the inside of you. He put the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. The church is not about being good, doing good. The church is about the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you and working His will through your body, your hands, your feet, your mind. That's what the church is. The church is the Holy Spirit working in and through you every day. Right? Amen. Amen. Can't hear you. Amen. That's good. Okay. All right, let's look here at chapter 36. This is, again, the sermon that Peter preached. Can you imagine Peter preaching a sermon? I mean, my gosh, that guy was a zoo. He was like some of you. He was like me. He was just shot from guns, as one of our secretaries used to say. He was all over the place, you know. Jesus, who's going to... I'll never deny you. Yeah, right. Unless it got tough, then, oh no, I don't even know him. See, that would be none of y'all, would it? Amen. They're going to pull out you, like Pastor Jim says. They start pulling out fingernails. I'm in trouble. Okay, but this is Peter after he's been filled with the Holy Ghost. This is Peter after he's been filled with the Holy Ghost, preaching a sermon like nothing he's ever heard come out of his mouth. And here at the end, verse 36, he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, talking to this is Jews from every part, every quarter of the world in town for the Feast of Pentecost. Amen? How many know Pentecost was a Jewish feast that had to do with the agriculture and counting of the crops? Pentecost wasn't just a new Christian holiday God made up. It was actually a Jewish feast that at that time, and it was accounting 50 days. It was 50 days after Passover was when Pentecost is. Pentagon, you know, five sides. So it's 50 days after the Passover feast, which is when Jesus was crucified. And then 50 days later is when he was baptized them in the Holy Spirit. All right? So now he says, this Jesus that you have crucified is both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, because he had their attention, he'd been preaching for a while, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When the Word of God goes out, it brings forth fruit. So don't be nervous about declaring the Word of God. Amen? See, you are in the kingdom of heaven. You are now a citizen of heaven living on the earth. All right? You are a citizen of heaven living on the earth. You've changed your papers, your citizenship papers have been changed. So now you're a citizen of heaven. Did you do know that, right? Huh? I mean, if you're born again, you're born from above, you're a new creation, you are now living in heaven. Philippians 3:20 says, for our conversation, our manner of living, the King James, when it says conversation, it talks about, it's discussing your manner of living, the way that you are seen, the way that you appear. Our conversation is in heaven. Our manner of living is in heaven. So when people look at you, they see heaven. Amen? And again, I want to express and emphasize that it's not about your doings as much as your fellowship with the Holy Spirit that produces fruit. The fellowship with the Holy Spirit produces fruit. It just starts coming out. Fruit just begins to be born by the Holy Spirit through you. So you're not reading the Word and figuring out what it is that I'm supposed to do. As you worship the Lord, you demonstrate, you begin to demonstrate what fruit is. You begin to, it begins to come out. So what I'm encouraging you to do is spend time in fellowship with the Word, with the Father, with one another. With one another. Praise the Lord. Not just, you know, sitting next to each other the way you do now, but get some phone numbers. You know, get some email addresses. Minister to one another. Contact one another. You know, Mark talked about it this morning. He just got an email and all of a sudden it just nailed, you know, something the Holy Spirit was working on that day. Right? It wasn't Janet just happenstance do a good thing. No, she just was led by the Holy Spirit and all of a sudden he received from the Holy Spirit that day. Did you know that when you send something out, you're going to reach somebody that day. You will reach somebody that day. So just follow through. Follow through and allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do. All right? Well, you know, I'm just not sure if it was the Holy Spirit. But start stepping out. If it's not, you'll find out. You're nervous. Don't be nervous. Amen? Or your pastor will tell you. He said, don't do that. Don't do that again. You know, or don't do it quite that way, you know. God's gonna work in you, but that's the case, is that, and that's what we're talking about with the house church. House church is a regular gathering of the people of God. And the reason we gather regularly is so that we bump up against one another. We begin to know each other. We also begin to know what sins are showing up in our life. You know, if you can remain hidden and show up in the back of the church once a week, usually you can hide pretty well. But when you begin to know one another, you begin to fellowship with one another, the sins that you normally have been free to fulfill and just kind of let go, those things begin to come up. Those things begin to show up and the Holy Spirit begins to clean you out and to destroy the power of the enemy on the inside of you. Amen? Hallelujah. That's good. That's what you want. You know, a lot of times, you know, we have our favorite things that we like to kind of hide and just kind of keep with us just because they're comfortable. You know, a little comfort here. You know, just a little flask. A little flask in your pocket, you know. Just when I needed it most, you know, I have my little comfort. Amen? And you know, the Holy Spirit wants to deliver you from your comfort. You can be 12 years old and 13 and 14 and you've already developed your little comfort system. Do you know that? Guys? Jake, do you know that? Yeah. You kind of develop your own little comfort system, you know? You know, Madeline knows that, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to know all the kids. You know, Glenn, you know, all these, you know, you just pick them out, you know. And you've developed your own little comfort system. And of course, those of you who are over 18, boy, you know it's all too well. And sometimes your problem is your comfort system kind of gets you in trouble, right? Kind of get you in trouble. Maybe if you're 50 or 60, it still gets you in trouble, right? Because you've learned how to cope with everything personally. You've learned how to cope with your problems, cope with your issues by comforting yourself here or there. And whatever it is, maybe it's not drinking or smoking or chewing. Maybe it's just some flight of fancy in your mind that you just like to, just kind of, God, well, I'll be back in a few minutes. I'll be back in a couple of weeks or a couple of days. But you know, when you begin to meet together, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and allow one another to speak into your lives and you just bump up against each other, the Holy Spirit begins to change you because you're meeting together. You're meeting together in the name of the Lord. And some of the folks who are in the house churches already, they can say amen. You know, they can agree that, you know, this happens. You know, Ryan, Mara, you know, when you're regularly and you meet regularly. So we say this, if you're meeting together from house to house daily. Now, not daily, but I mean, you know, certainly at least every week we're meeting together. Not like, you know, when you get around to it, when you feel like it or, you know, when it's convenient, but it's a commitment. It's a commitment to meet together. And, you know, we want to see this. We want to see it break forth. We've had a few. And now, you know, we just believe the Holy Spirit just wants to do more. And, so we're going to have one meeting over at, Jonathan and Kelly Hill's house starting this Wednesday night, and that's over on the east side of Fort Worth near I-30 in Oakland. And if you would like to consider coming and committing to that, you know, talk to me about it. Come today and talk to me about it. Okay? And again, it's a commitment. It's not, you know, just it's not casual, you know, but it's a commitment to say, you know, I want to grow. I want to know the Lord, and I want to commit to fellowship and letting the Holy Spirit get the sin out of my life. Amen. Now we're not gonna sit there and point out your sin. Oh, okay. You know, well, I heard the Holy Spirit this week, and now we're gonna reveal your sin. No, it's not what it is at all. It's the Holy Spirit individually, personally working on you as we share the Word and as we fellowship together, okay? All right, so verse 37, Acts 2. And now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. See, that's what we do when we're preaching and ministering the Word of God. That happens here, but it's different when you meet together personally and privately. All right? This is an open meeting. Amen? This meeting is open. I don't know who's here. You know, I look around, I know most of you. But, you know, there can be, you can bring unbelievers here. And they may hear the Word and they're transformed, their lives are transformed, they can become born again. So you can bring an unbeliever here. The house church is not for unbelievers. It's not an evangelistic tool. The house church is a place where believers gather together. All right? To grow. So it's not like, hey, come on, Jimmy, come on over. No. No, that's a meeting where we gather together as believers, all right? So they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So the gift of the Holy Spirit is not only for them and for their children, but for generations to come, which is come to us. As many as the Lord our God shall call. Well, that's you. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this perverse generation. Well, that applies, doesn't it? That applies. Save yourselves. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to save yourself. What it means is believe God. Believe God and His promise. Believing God and His promise transforms you, saving you from this perverse generation, separating you. You are separated. If you're born again, you have been separated out. You've been, sanctification is separating the wheat from the chaff. Doesn't mean you're good in your person, but it means from the point, vantage point of God's mercy that He has said, you are mine. Because you have believed in the promise. You have trusted that the promise that Jesus Christ fulfilled and bore your sins upon the cross, He has given you eternal life. And so that life now resides on the inside of you. You are in God's sight made righteous. Doesn't mean you're any better than the bad guy next door. The guy that robbed the liquor store last night. That's not you. You know, you're not better than that guy. Amen? You are in fact exactly the same. That's why you can have mercy on him. Amen? You can have mercy on that person who you read about in the paper. Because you are the same. You're the same. The problem is with the church is that they've been taught that they're better than most folks. You know, well, glory to God. You know, and you got to make the pastor look good. So behave yourself, will you? I mean, somebody might see you out in public. You know, what church do you go to? No, don't say that. You had too many glasses of wine and you're telling them where you went to church. You know? Oh, praise the Lord. And with many other words, like I said, he said, save yourselves from this perverse generation. How do you do that? Stay in the Word. Not only are you saving yourself, you're saving somebody else. Amen? Stay in the Word. Let the Holy Spirit change you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's doing great things. Amen? God's doing great things in you. You believe that? 2013's here. Isn't that awesome? Obama's president. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Glory to Jesus. Amen. You know, you're not worried, are you? Say, I'm not worried. Amen. I'm not worried. I'm not sweating this thing. Because it's not my home anymore. You know, I got one. You know, and I know taxes is coming, you know, and all of this thing. But it's no big deal. Listen, it's no big deal. Because it's temporal. It's temporary. All this is temporary. So then 41, look at verse 41, Acts chapter 2. Then they gladly received his word and were baptized, and the same day were added to them about 3,000 people. 3,000 souls. And they continued, listen now here, verse 42. And so what do you do after you get born again? After you get born again, they get baptized. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. That's what we do. That's what we do when we meet together. When we meet together in the house, we continue steadfastly without wavering, without turning to the left or the right. In the apostles' doctrine, the word of the Lord, fellowship, meeting together, loving one another, breaking of bread. Some houses or churches choose to have a meal, have a full meal together. Maybe once in a while you do that. But the breaking of bread he's talking about is the breaking of bread for the Lord's table. That is remembering his body and his blood. So so each week we take communion in the house church. Is it remembering his body and his blood? So Jesus said, as often as you do this, as often as you gather together, eat his body, drink his blood. What does that mean? It's talking about remember his sacrifice. Remember his sacrifice. So we take the elements, we take the wine and the bread, and we receive that. All right? And then we are remembering his body and his blood. Because Jesus, listen, that's the crux of your salvation, is remembering his sacrifice. That's the way you remember what he has done for you, is because he has taken his body and his blood and he has spilled them out, poured them out for you. And so as we're gathering together, that's what we do. And in prayers, praying for the world, praying for all men, praying for kings and those who are in authority, praying for one another as needs arise. Those also take place as we fellowship together. We call up one another during the week, and we have families who are in constant contact during the week and encouraging and building up one another, and needs are met, needs are supplied. Amen. You know, if there are needs in the group that's meeting, the people know about them. People know about them. So, you know, you're just hiding out, you know, and suffering in silence. But, you know, people know who you are, and people know what needs are coming up in the body. And those needs are supplied as the Holy Spirit moves individual people. All right? And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. So as you're gathering together, the things that I have belong to you. Things that you have belong to me. We don't sign over deeds and things. The scripture talks about people who had lands. They had extra things. They had things that weren't doing anything. They sold them. They sold those things, and when needs arose, they began to sell things that were unnecessary to them and to meet the needs of those who are in the place. It's not a communist society where you have a commune. You know, everybody has their own family. Everybody has their own home. But when there's a need, then you begin to distribute as those needs arise. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as everyone had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So when you're gathering together in the house, and then you go out and have your daily, you know, work or your daily occupation, the Holy Spirit has changed you. The Holy Spirit has changed you. You are not what you were. In fact, weekly, you are not what you were. You are changed. Amen? And, you know, I believe people who've, you know, been attending regularly, their lives are changed because you have that regular fellowship. You have that regular fellowship, you know, with believers. You're encouraging one another. You're encouraging each other in the Word. Because so many times, you know, you'll get a message on Sunday morning that, you know, by Monday morning, you're, you know, up and off and doing your thing. But when you gather together regularly and personally, you begin to receive from each other, and the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of your brothers and sisters, you begin to receive blessing, and you begin to receive the Word in a new way, in a way that it's changing them. You're hearing testimonies. And again, it may just be on the phone, or it may be by an email or something else. But the way you communicate is changed. Amen? All right. Let's look at John chapter 14. By the way, where it says in verse 43 there, it said, "And fear came upon every soul." It's not like fear like you're shaking in your boots, but the fear that he's talking about is that your life has been changed. Your life has been changed, and now you are now a part of this body. And that when he says fear came upon every soul, there was an awe and a reverence to your life, to your life, your living. The fear of God begins to take hold in your daily life, rather than before. It's like, you know, well, the fear of God took place on Saturday night or Sunday morning, you know, when you're headed to church, you know, better repent. But your life has changed. That's what I was talking about. All right? Okay, let's look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 16. And now I'm going to talk about a little bit about how the Holy Spirit, Jesus, began to talk in the discourse there on before the Passover to his disciples. And he spent about five chapters talking about the Holy Spirit. And let's read this. Verse 16, beginning in verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you." So the Holy Spirit, he dwells with you. You remember they were sent out. Jesus sent out the disciples. First of all, he sent out the 12, two by two, and he gave them power over sicknesses and diseases and over devils. Do you remember these stories? That Jesus sent them out as he was with them, those years that he was with them, he would send them out and gave them power. And then they were all excited. They came back, you know, "Hey, the devils are even subject to us. Woo! Yeah. Oh." And he says, "Rejoice not in that." Oh, nuts. You know, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So your rejoicing is not in, "Wow, man, I got me a car that's got some horsepower." You know, your rejoicing is, "Man, I can get from place to place, and my name is written in heaven." Amen? That's it. It's not that you have power. The power is just to demonstrate the Holy Spirit. The power is just to demonstrate the love of God. Your power is not to show yourself mighty. Your power is to demonstrate the love of God that you have in your heart. Because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Jesus went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because he loved them. How many know that love drives you? Just say it. Amen. See, people are always checking, you know. You know, always checking yourself. Seeing if it's, you know, seeing if it's so. The Bible said it. It's so. You are moved by love. You are moved by the love of Christ. With Jesus Christ, the love of God now lives and dwells and moves on the inside of you. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who I am. I'm filled with the love of God. So quit checking your you know, little thing that says, "I hate them." I hate it when they do that. You know, that's flesh. And the Bible says the Word of God divides between soul and spirit. Soul is old man, spirit's new man. And the Word of God divides between that. What, how does He do that? He said, because He begins to separate the old man from the new man, and he'll point that out to you, and he'll point out what he's doing and working on you. You say, well, that's not, you know, that was the enemy. Here's what I'm saying. And so you say, Father, then work that in me. Make that happen in me. Transform me. Make that happen in me. As He shows you those things, He begins to do them in you. Amen? And you just want to agree with it. All right? Listen, just agree with it. Whatever the Holy Spirit, whatever you seem to get irritated by, say, Father, I thank You that I love that person. Because that's what the Holy Spirit is working on the inside of you. He's showing you up that, you know, that person just irritates the fire out of me. You know, anybody? No, well, don't raise your hand. There you go. Praise the Lord. I got one. I didn't ask for one, but I got one. All right? But yeah, you have that flesh. Amen? Everybody does. You all got that flesh. That person just bugs me. Yeah, when people do that, I mean, your family members do that to you, right? I mean, it just irritates you. You're right. Amen. But then you hear that and you go, Lord, thank You that You're revealing that to me. Because you know, because the Holy Spirit says, you know, yeah, but that's not me. He'll minister that. He'll say that to you. It's because He'll bring it to your attention. All of a sudden, that thing didn't used to stand out to you before. That irritation that you had, it didn't used to stand out to you before, but all of a sudden you're like, who's coming against me there? It's the Holy Spirit. He's coming against you right there. And He's saying, here's what I'm doing. I'm separating that out in you. So you just begin to agree with Him. Say, Father, thank You that You're separating me from my old man. All right? I want you to do that. Just thank You, Father, that You're separating me from my old man. And He begins to work love in you, like, and you don't know how. See, the Word of God goes forth and brings forth fruit. You know, when the farmer plants the seed, the Bible says, he plants the seed grows up, you know, sunshine and moon, sunshine and harvest, you know, the seed raises up, you know, and you know not how. Do you know how seed grows? I don't know. You know how a baby grows? You know, I don't know. It just all of a sudden, you know, the baby grows and just, whoop, you know, all of a sudden there's a baby. Not like you don't know how it starts, but you know, what's the science behind it? You don't know how that works. And same thing with the seed. You don't even know how it works. It groweth up, you know not how. That's how the Holy Spirit changes you. It groweth up, you know not how. Amen? So don't try to figure it out. You know, how do you do that? Isn't there a reality show like that? How'd they do that or something? How'd they do that? All right. So I'll pray the Father and He'll give you another comforter because Jesus is letting you know that He's going to be leaving. Of course, they're all dependent on Jesus. Oh, Jesus, don't leave. You know, there's just 12 guys, you know. Can you imagine all of y'all having a problem? You know, everybody's lining up to see Jesus. You remember the story of Moses? You know, they lined up for hours. Lined up for hours, you know, and Moses' father-in-law comes along and says, Moses' father-in-law, I think that's great. Moses' father-in-law, the guy's, Moses is 80 years old. He's doing this thing, and his father-in-law shows up. How old's that guy? But he's got some good advice. He says, you know, what you're doing is not good. Because he would sit there, and the people would bring all their problems. He would sit there from morning till night. And the people, just 2 million people. And the people are just bringing their problems every day, and he's sitting there judging between the people. And his father-in-law says, you know, what you're doing is not good. I mean, you're going to wear yourself out and you're going to wear these people out. You know, they're probably beating each other up in the line, you know, seeing who's going to get there next. And Jesus couldn't do that. He was a man. If you read the scripture, he got tired. Jesus actually got tired, you know. He'd be up praying all night, then walking on the water in a storm. It's got to be tough. You know, even if you're Jesus, it's got to be hard. You know, that wind and the rain, you know, tired. But he said he would get tired. He would get hungry. So when he was going to go away, but he's going to send another comforter. And he has been with you. And as I was talking earlier about the story about the 12 going out, and then he sends out the 70 to minister to the people around the countryside, and the Holy Spirit, He gave them power. So the Spirit of God was with them. He was with them but he was not yet in them. But here he says, he has been with you, but he is going to be in you. The Holy Spirit's going to be in you. I mean, they were casting out devils and healing the sick with just the Holy Spirit with them. Imagine what he's going to do when he's in you. Well, he's going to do outward works, but he's also going to do something on the inside of you too, isn't he? See, he's going to be ministering to you the love of God, the Father. Because remember, Jesus says, it's the Father himself who loves you. How many know Jesus is not your friend, it's the Father? You see, some people are like, you know, well, the Father's the bad guy, you know, he's kind of mean, he's trying to hold your sins against you, but Jesus comes, no, don't do it, don't hurt him. No. The Father sent Jesus so that he could have fellowship with you. There's a Father in heaven, he's your Father. In Matthew, he talks to the Jews about your Father in heaven. When you pray secretly, your Father in heaven, who loves you, will reward you openly. See, he was transforming them and he was moving them, migrating them to a mindset and a knowledge that the Father is for you. God is for you. The God of heaven is for you. He's not against you. He's not trying to get you to shape up. Amen. Listen, he's not trying to get you to shape up. He's going to move on the inside of you and do it himself. Amen. He's not depending on you to be the merry maid. He's going to be the merry maid. He's going to come in and clean up himself. Right? He's not waiting on you to do it. I said he's not waiting on you to do it. Oh, I hope you're getting this. Then everybody just goes back to their own little, you know, grind. Well, I hope God's not unhappy with me. Stop that. You know, you just go back to your old grind that you grew up with. You know, I'll tell you what, when you grow up with things, it's hard to get them out of your head. You know? But we're not trying to change your head. We just want you to give the Holy Spirit just a little ground. And when He moves in, He'll do the rest of the work Himself. That means I don't have to do it. I don't have to change Paula's mind. I just have to crack her open a little bit and get the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit in there, and He'll do the work. Makes my job easier. Amen? Pastor Jim and me, we don't want to live with you. I know you're lovely folks, but we just don't. You know, we don't want to live with you. We just want to get the Holy Spirit on the inside of you and just, you know, crack that coconut open just enough, get the Holy Spirit on the inside of you and let Him do the work. Because you know what? He loves you more than we do. He loves you more than we did. I mean, we love you just fine, but it's just, you know, it's like secondhand because He's in us. Right? He's firsthand. He absolutely loves you. He is not unhappy. His desire is to know you and to bring you into the fullness of His, of everything He planned. He wants to bring in and put it on the inside of you and cause joy unspeakable to happen to you. Amen. So, verse 17. I'm going to run up on it again. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. That means every night, every day. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So He's going to come to you through the person of the Holy Spirit. He's coming to you through the person of the Holy Spirit. Yet a little while and the world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Well, wow. That's like, He and me and us and we and them and, you know, this is you. You are one with the Father. You are one with the Father through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. It's too much. Too much for your little pea brain to figure out. Amen? You know, the Holy Spirit, God created the world through the Holy Spirit. You know, the Spirit of the Lord was over the face of the deep. Jesus is the Word. John 1. Without Him was not anything made that was made. They were in the beginning. They were in the beginning. Together. Verse 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. So Jesus is going to manifest himself to you. He's going to show himself to you. How? He's in heaven through the Holy Spirit. And we're gathering together in the house church so that we have more opportunity to encourage one another in the Word of God. All right? Praise the Lord. Let's look verse 26 now. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. So Jesus is going to bring things to your remembrance. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said to you, I am going away and will come to you again. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Okay, now, he says here that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. So, he's also your teacher. So, if I say something to you, he's gonna break it down and open it up to you. Amen? To clarify. What did that guy say? Or you'll say, that guy was wrong. Here's what I actually said. All right, now, over in John 15, verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. So when you're hearing the Holy Spirit, who's he going to talk about? Jesus. The Holy Spirit is going to talk about Jesus. He doesn't talk about himself. He talks about Jesus. Now, I can talk about him. But because I'm going to tell you that he's going to talk about Jesus. He's not going to talk about some weird doctrine out somewhere. He's going to talk about the things that Jesus has done. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He will reveal to you the things that Jesus did. And you shall also all bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And then move over to chapter 16. Look at verse 5. John chapter 16, John 1, 6, verse 5. Jesus again, but now I go to my way to him that sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrows filled your heart. Nevertheless, so they didn't want him to go. They used to be having Jesus with them, you know. It's like you're used to having, you know, your pastor with you, you know. We're not going anywhere necessarily, but the point being is that even if we did, you'd be okay. You'd be okay because your relationship needs to be with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's kind of interesting. We were at a... just want you to be in prayer also for Paul McLemore, our worship leader. His dad went to be with the Lord on Tuesday. And so when you have opportunity, just to send an email or just encourage them. So he lost his mom about seven months ago. So dad was lonely, so he decided to go home too. And so I think Buck was, he was 86 years old. So, and so I think he was done hanging out. And Lee, they'd been married 67 years. So they wanted to keep that going. So he went on home to be with the Lord and to be with her. And so just remembering that. And Jesus said this, said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when the Holy Spirit has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, what's the sin that the Holy Spirit reproves of? Because they believe not on me. So the sin, now that God deals with, is unbelief in the provision that Jesus made for salvation. He'll get rid of the rest of your sin when the Holy Spirit moves on the inside of you. But the sin that keeps you out of the presence of the Lord, or in colloquial terms, the sin that keeps you out of heaven, is not believing in the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. That's the sin that keeps you out of heaven. Not that you didn't repent of, everything else you've done. Not because you didn't repent of drinking. Not because you didn't repent of adultery. Not because you didn't repent of lust. Not because you didn't repent of lying. That's not what keeps you out of heaven. What keeps you out of heaven is not believing that Jesus made provision for all of that. He made provision for all of that. He died for your sins, plural, and so the one sin would be to not accept that sacrifice. You know, we preach that years, and we've been preaching that for years and years and years. And, you know, it's news to somebody every time. It's like, really? Yeah. He's going to reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father. He's going to not only reprove the world of sin so that you know that believing on Jesus is the way to eternal life, but also the fact that you have been made righteous in His sight. People don't believe that. People don't believe that they're in right standing with God. They're always in fear of deadly judgment every day. But the Father says this, is that once you have believed in Me, in Jesus and His sacrifice, that He's not out to get you. He's saying, listen to Me, I've already approved you. I put My stamp of approval on you. You're in. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father. And of judgment. So He reproves the world of judgment. That is the judgment at the end of the age. Because who's judged? The prince of this world. The devil, the enemy. Your enemy has been judged. The accuser of the brethren, it says in another place, has been cast down. He doesn't have any standing. You know, if you're going to bring a court case, you have to have standing. You have to have an ability legally to be able to bring the charge. You have to have been hurt by the charge. You have to be able to come into the court. And God said the accuser of the brethren, that is the enemy, he doesn't have any standing. He has no place to stand. He can't even come in and accuse you. Amen? Because you've already believed in Jesus. He's already put His approval on you. Said, you're in. Glory to God. Jesus said, verse 12, chapter 16 of John, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Now listen to them. I want you to hear this part, and then we'll be done shortly. I have a lot of things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You couldn't handle it. There's a lot of stuff you don't know that Jesus can't tell you about it here sitting on the earth where they were today, where they were sitting before the Holy Spirit came. Okay? But listen to this now. Verse 13, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, He, the Spirit of truth, He's a He. He's not like a ghost. He's a He. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and He will show it to you. So the things that Jesus couldn't tell you now, when the Holy Spirit has come and He's come on the inside of you, then He can begin to show you things to come. He can begin to show you things that He couldn't show you before. Amen? Isn't that so cool? It's like, man, you're in the Council on Foreign Relations or something. You get to hear all the secrets now. Because you're in Him. And He's in you. It's like, you don't tell your kids a bunch of things. You know, you don't tell your kids everything that's going on in the house. You know, they don't need to know all kinds of stuff. There's just all kinds of stuff going on. Your kids just need to know everything's cool. Everything's happening. Everything's great. God's on the throne. Everything's terrific. You know, But, you know, when people die, or when you know, kind of the ship gets a little bumpy, you don't tell your kids everything. Amen? You just let them be happy and joyful, peaceful. You know? Because God's taking care of everything. And God's taking care of y'all. So, but Jesus said, He said, I can't share with you these things right now. But when the Holy Spirit's come, He'll take of mine everything I've showed you, and He'll reveal it to you. And you'll hear things you never could have seen before. Amen? He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he will show it to you. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. All right. Well, God's good. I think we'll quit right there. I just wanted to encourage you with the house church and the fact that the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Amen? I hope you're encouraged today. Amen? I hope you believe you live in heaven. You know that you live in heaven. Okay? You live in heaven because the Holy Spirit is now living on the inside of you. You're being transformed every day. The Word of God is alive and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Holy Spirit works on the inside of you. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We can pray with you, Jesus said, how much more would the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Not do right, not behave yourself, but to them that ask. Amen? Father, we just rejoice today. We thank you for the Spirit of God. We thank you for the love of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Comforter coming and dwelling on the inside of us, changing us, showing us things to come, speaking to us of the things of heaven. We are born from above. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, living in the earth, declaring the glory of God and the presence of God so that others, everyone, may know that God is for them, loves them, desires them to be a member of the kingdom of heaven. And that's why we're here. That's why we're here. That's why we go where we go, do what we do, show up where we show up every single day. It's because the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. And we are demonstrating the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and thanks. Amen. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are so gentle, so pure and so kind. You shine like the morning star. Jesus, what a wonder you are.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed.
And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Go in peace and rejoice in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I love you.